Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on the Spirit's desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Paul, once again, is writing to the church in Rome. Paul meant to go to Rome and to teach at the church. So the book of Romans is basically Paul laying out his whole understanding of the grace of God, the salvation through Jesus Christ. He's laying out what it means to be a Christian. And here in this passage, Paul is talking about the difference between living in the world and living in God. I entitled the sermon today, "What is your mind set on?" In other words, what are you concentrating on? What is the most important thing in your life? And that's an important question for us as Christians. We live in a world today that has so many external things going on. I was thinking about it as Ev was talking about us bringing our computers here, our laptops, and I thought, well, I have a computer in my office at the house, a computer in my office at the church. I have this laptop. I have another laptop at the church. Sharon has a laptop, I have an iPad, and we both have iPhones. That's way too much stuff. Way too much input from the world. And there are many times when I just turn it all off and go sit out on the front porch. And I get a lot better input out on the front porch. But in our world today, any of you who are online see it, there is so much information coming at us, and we don't even know what's true and what's not true anymore. It's hard to sort it all out. Now they have, you'll read a story and then it'll say, fact checked. My question is, can I trust the fact checker? Is it true? But we do know one thing. Whether you have your Bible on an electronic device, such as your phone, an iPad, your computer, or you read it the old-fashioned way in print, we know that God's Word is true. So we as Christians need to make sure that what we're putting into our lives, what we're focusing on in our lives, are the things which are true and are of God. God needs to be our main focus, our first and most important thing in our lives. And that means more important than your job, more important than your family, more important than anything else in your life. And when I say that, sometimes I get some strange looks, because we have a problem thinking that if we put God ahead of our family, that's not right. But the reality is, if you put God ahead of your family, you're going to be a lot better mother, father, child, whatever it is, in your relationships in your family. Because if your focus is on God and you're trying to follow the things of God, then God will tell you how you deal with your family members. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In other words, be willing to die for her. If you do that, I guarantee you, your wife's not going to have any trouble loving you back. If you are willing to die for her and you live that way, then that's going to help your relationship. Children, honor your father and your mother. If you do that, it's going to help your relationship with your father and your mother. The Bible gives us ways to live out our lives in godly ways at all times. Don't hate your enemy. Love your enemy and pray for them. We're called to follow God's teachings, and if we do that, we will live much better lives. We will live much fuller lives. What does the world tell us? The world tells us today, hey, if somebody doesn't believe the same thing you believe, it's okay to hate them. And if somebody does something to you, you have every right to get angry with them, and if you have a chance, get back at them. That's what the world tells us. What kind of life is that? There are people out there in life that are so busy being angry at other people that they can't even enjoy life. And I truly believe that anger that you turn in and hold for years and years causes physical sickness, causes you to struggle in your life. Yet if we follow the teachings of God, we're going to get rid of all of those things. Because Jesus says, don't hang on to them. Don't hold those things and make them to be the focus of your life. Focus on God. People say, well, Christians don't care about the world and the environment. You need to read your Bible if you think that. We're told to care for the environment. After God created it, he told Adam and Eve to care for it, not to destroy it. To care for it. If we focus on the things of God, then our lives will be much fuller, much more wonderful. I love to sit outside and listen to the birds. We have a lot of birds where we live. We live back in a holler in the mountains, and we have one particular little fawn who just loves to put on a show for us. He'll start at one end of the field and zip to the other end and turn around and zip back again, and he's just having a good time. When he was smaller, he would be prancing around in the field, and then you could see him, and it was like something clicked, and he thought, oh, I'm supposed to be hiding. And then he would lay down in the grass. That's the beauty of God's creation. It's the beauty of what God has given us. Our families, our friends, our gifts from God. gifts that we should enjoy, gifts that we should share and love and cherish. I get so frustrated when I hear people say, oh, Christians are just haters. They hate other people. They don't like other people. That's not true. That's not what a true Christian is. A true evangelical, Bible-believing Christian is somebody who loves everybody. Does that mean that I agree with everything you do? Absolutely not. But it means that I love you and I care about you. And I'll do whatever I can to help you. That's the Christian way of life. That's how we are to live our lives, following Jesus Christ, because we have been set free from legalism, from the requirements of the law. We follow the law because we desire to. Now, flies, they're different. But our requirement is that we live according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, not according to the teachings of the world. We live according to the teachings found in God. I've got a fly here who wants me to eat it. We need to be God's people, because that's what God has created us for. He's chosen us, He's accepted us, and He's given us the wisdom to follow Him. So let's not follow the world. Let's not go where the world is going. Let us follow God and where God is leading. If we do that, the things of the world are going to lose their power. You're not going to get frustrated because somebody on the internet or on the news or in government says something, because they're not in charge. God is in charge. We follow a God who has a plan, who is leading us and wants us to follow Him. That's what we're called to do, to be God's people. Set your mind on God and the things of God. Follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Spend time in God's Word so that you know what God teaches. We are called to be God's people. I wish I could tell you where the world is going. What's going to happen? I can't. I can't tell you what the next thing our government's going to do. But I can guarantee one thing absolutely. No matter what they decide, no matter what they do, our God is still in control. And our God is still God. Amen.